This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. We join Joshua A. Douglas, professor at the University of Kentucky College of Law. He focuses on the constitutional right to vote, and his book is Vote for Us, How to Take Back Our Elections and Change the Future of Voting. We know there are many stories about voter suppression in our country, and we'll get to those with Professor Joshua A. Douglas. But, Professor, you believe in the midst of all these concerns, there are some positives. Let's start there. What are some of the good things that are happening regarding voter accessibility?
Yeah, thanks, Jim, for having me on to talk about this. There are some good news. There is some good news out there in places all over the country where everyday Americans are working on improving our election system. I call them democracy champions who are working on things like bringing more people into the political process, whether it's re-enfranchising felons or expanding eligibility, fixing our registration systems to make it easier to register to vote, making Election Day itself more convenient, creating different ways of voting, different electoral structures to make people feel like their vote actually matters and to reduce voter apathy, improving civics education. There's a whole slew of things that are going on where people are really promoting positive voting rights reforms.
What are some of the biggest concerns?
Well, the biggest concerns, I think, are, well, threefold, I guess. You know, low voter turnout certainly is one, and that's a concern in and of itself, and also is symptomatic of two other things, which are, generally speaking, this doom and gloom feeling that most of us have that we're making it harder to vote, making it more difficult for people to participate in our democracy. And then there are structural barriers, you know, things like redistricting and partisan gerrymandering, or the state of our campaign finance system where it feels like big moneyed interests are the only ones that have a say. This leads to people feeling like very apathetic about our democratic process.
We're visiting with University of Kentucky Law Professor Joshua A. Douglas. His book is Vote for Us, the U.S., How to Take Back Our Elections and Change the Future of Voting. And in Louisiana, we have voting machines, and some people probably think that's the way it is all over the country, but there are different ways to cast votes in our country. Is that a good thing or a bad?
Well, some of them are better than others. Voting machines with no paper backup is not the right way to be voting in our current system, even with technological advances. But there are some states that that do an innovative process where instead of having to vote at your home-based precinct, the state automatically mails every individual a ballot. It's not like absentee balloting on steroids, because with absentee balloting, individuals have to request a ballot. In vote-by-mail states, also known as vote-at-home, individuals don't even have to ask for it. They may not even know that an election is about to take place. But about 2 or 3 weeks before Election Day, everyone receives a ballot in the mail, so they can take the time to do some research on the candidate and issues, fill it out, and then drop it off at a secure drop box or put it in the mail to be returned. And there's most of these states also use something known as ballot trace, where they can actually track the status of their ballot to make sure it was received properly. And these mechanisms improve turnout. Voters find it more convenient. It reduces costs for election officials. And for me, the most important point is that the states that have systems like universal vote by mail have much higher turnout than other states.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Professor Douglas.
Good morning. And my question is about the Electoral College, and also the fact that those caucuses, like the Iowa caucuses, that they're the first place candidates go to, those states are not really representative of the whole country, so it's kind of like a lot more influence than I think they rightly deserve.
What are your thoughts about those comments from Phil?
Yeah, thanks, Phil, for those comments. So first on the Electoral College, I do think that it is time for the Electoral College to be abolished. It perhaps served a purpose back in our founding, and we were a very different society and had very different campaigns. You know, you didn't really have nationwide campaigns then. So a popular vote plan, I think, is the better bet. And I mentioned it in the book just at the end briefly. There is a movement right now called the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact to move to a popular vote system. I don't focus as much in the book on that only because the book is really about positive solutions that are already being implemented on the ground in places. And so I want to focus on ways that we can bring more people into the political process. Although, again, I do discuss the Electoral College because so many people are fed up with it, and I think rightly so. On, you know, the issue of Iowa having the first caucus and New Hampshire having the first primary, you know, that goes to our whole primary system and how the two main political parties have set the system up. And, you know, they're both good things and bad things. You know, the New Hampshire and Iowa feel a lot of pride in the retail politics of their presidential primary system. But as you note, they're not necessarily representative of the whole country. And so, you know, changing the primary system is also something that a lot of people are looking at.
You mentioned partisan gerrymandering. This is an age-old topic that has become more pronounced. Districts are like the one that Garrett Graves represents are drawn to protect a certain party member, and in this case, it's driven all the black folks in North Baton Rouge into a district represented by Cedric Richmond of New Orleans. So what can be done, if anything, to address this?
Yeah, so gerrymandering is a big problem all over the country. As you note, the politicians who draw the lines, who have the power to draw the lines, do so in a way that entrenches themselves, right? Makes it easier for their future reelection. But some places have said essentially enough and have created independent redistricting commissions. And the story from Michigan, I think, is the most powerful. A woman named Katie Fahey posted on Facebook after the 2016 election and just said, "Hey, I'm thinking of taking on redistricting in Michigan. Anyone want to join in?" And she thought a few friends and family members might, you know, say yes and they'd find a group. But instead, what happened is that first a handful of people started sharing her posts, and then hundreds, and then thousands, and it created a whole new movement in Michigan and a new organization called Voters Not Politicians, where they then gathered hundreds of thousands of signatures to get a measure on the ballot this past November to create an independent redistricting commission, and the measure passed overwhelmingly. And so now, previously, you know, Michigan politicians drew the lines, and during the next cycle of redistricting, which will happen in 2021, it'll be this independent redistricting commission. And as Fahey told me, you know, they were really overthrowing the government in a peaceful manner through a grassroots effort.
Now, you have a whole chapter on fake news and how to combat it. Easier said than done, but how do you combat it?
Yeah, obviously a very difficult problem, and we also have to understand what we mean by fake news. You know, fake news is not something that just the current party or the current politician in power doesn't like. And unfortunately, that's become the mantra. You know, fake news really is false news stories being peddled as truths. And the way to combat it is to trust local journalism. You know, the actual mainstream local journalists, the local newspapers, the local radio shows, unfortunately, they're struggling financially. And so there are fewer of these dedicated reporters out there to do this vital work of informing the public and providing transparency to our democratic system. And so I think that we need to rededicate ourselves to our democracy by trusting local journalists. I speak to a lot of them all the time. You know, they're not biased. They're just trying to get the facts right and do a good job, and we need to support them in that effort.
Earlier, I referenced the state of Arkansas where a woman shot and killed her husband because he got a porn channel on his television set. You note in 2016, the Arkansas Secretary of State sent a list of individuals flagged as felons to all of the state's county clerk offices, ordered the county clerks to remove the individuals from voter rolls, but many of the people had regained their right to vote after completing their prison sentences and parole. Is this ongoing in other places?
Well, the question of voter purges of the registration rolls is ongoing. You know, luckily, they fixed the problem in Arkansas, largely thanks to some local reporters who, you know, kept telling the stories and pressuring the Secretary of State to then notify county clerks that they should, you know, redo their rolls and make sure that they weren't purging people inappropriately. There is this push and pull between greater voter access to the registration rolls and voter purges. The thing that I would note is that having bloated voter registration rolls does not mean that there's voter fraud. You know, just because you have extra people on the rolls, whether they've moved, whether they've died, does not mean that there's massive voter fraud in our system. Now, of course, it is a good thing to clean up the rolls in a way that does so such that we don't disenfranchise people by inappropriately taking them off. And the best way the states have done this is through what's known automatic voter registration, where the state takes the information it already has, such as through DMV offices, and essentially lets that list talk to the voter registration list. And it can talk in a dynamic fashion so that once someone updates the information with the DMV, it automatically is updated on the voter registration rolls as well. Automatic voter registration started in Oregon thanks to some advocacy of some elected officials as well as good government groups and the general public, and now it's spread to over a dozen states, both so-called red and so-called blue states.
And the book is Vote for Us from Joshua A. Douglas, How to Take Back Our Elections and Change the Future of Voting. Reminder that today is the 77th birthday of Barbara Jones Streisand, the Pride of Brooklyn, who got an Academy Award in 1969. 50 years ago, here she is with one of her big hits from 1970.